Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
With Donald Trump returning to the Oval Office in January, he'll be dealing with prime ministers and presidents once more. That includes Russia's Vladimir Putin and admirers of Trump, including Hungary's Viktor Orban. He'll also have two wars in Ukraine and the Middle East on his desk once he takes office. Duncan Bullivant, CEO of International Risk Management Advisory, the Henderson Group, joins me now. Duncan, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, the world has changed in a week with the re-election of Donald Trump. I mean, it was a 50-50 shot which of them would get it. So we can't be too surprised that Trump took the prize.
No, I think the big shock has been the way in which the usual suspects in terms of political commentators, certainly in the English-speaking world, had almost ignored the fact that there was a lot of ground support for Trump. And it's almost, certainly it's a bit like the Brexit situation in the UK, where a lot of people who were close to the pulse of the average voter saw it coming. And I think a lot of people in the States saw it coming, but the commentary really were taken by surprise. So it shocked a lot of people. And of course, it's changed the course of direction for some of these significant conflicts in the world.
Now, even before he was officially declared the winner, Benjamin Netanyahu sent his congratulations from himself and his missus to Trump and his missus. And there's no doubt that this is the outcome that Netanyahu wished for and will prosper militarily under it.
Yes, and we have to remember that the working relationship between Netanyahu and Trump is very close. The two of them came up with the Abraham Accords, which, had that succeeded, would have been a great success for the region. It's slightly on hold at the moment, obviously as a result of the October 7th attacks and the somewhat disproportionate response by the Israeli Defense Force to the ongoing insurgency in both in Lebanon and in Gaza. But whether the Abraham Accords can be put back on track, and whether the future relationship between Trump, and this is a different Trump, this is, you know, Trump 2.0 is not going to be the same administration that we saw previously in many ways, but whether it's the same cozy working relationship remains to be seen. But I think you're absolutely right. This is the outcome that Netanyahu would have wished for, and will hopefully allow him to survive a few more months into the new year.
Now, there is an old saying, be careful what you wish for, and it may come to pass for Netanyahu. If you have a Trump 2.0 and he is a more rampant Trump than the other Trump, who was a bit circumscribed by some wise heads in the military who constrained him. I mean, what are the risks for Netanyahu? What are the risks for the region with Trump 2.0?
Well, I think, first of all, the stakes are higher. You know, when Trump's first administration inherited a relatively stable environment, Trump's first administration was, the hallmark of it was chaos. It was a chaotic and shambolic existence with a lot of confusing and mixed signals. But Trump, some would argue, got it right on Iran, and he actually held the Iranians to account, and he put the Iranians in a position where they had no room for maneuver with regard to developing their nuclear capability. And some would argue that the Biden administration took their eye off the ball there. So I think in terms of the region, the Iranians will be taking a breath now and looking at their involvement in the chaos and their involvement in the bloodshed, and that may well be curtailed. Trump has got a good working relationship with the Saudis at every level, from the top to the bottom. And the Saudis are going to become increasingly more important in finding a long-term resolution, or a medium-term resolution, I think we'd be.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
To call it, because at the end of the day, that the central plank of the Abraham Accords was to get a normalized relationship between Saudi and Israel, and that needs to get back on track. It's been dislodged for now. So I think that, you know, I don't want to be seen as a cheerleader for the Trump administration. I'm not, but I think that what will happen is a degree of practicality and clearer heads. The Biden administration has been fuzzy, has been weak, and has been tested by Netanyahu. And every time it's been tested, Netanyahu's come out on top.
Now, the question of Trump, the peacemaker, this is how he likes to characterize himself. You know, one phone call and I can stop the Ukraine war, this kind of thing. I can stop the fighting in the Middle East in a week. Is it possible, and maybe this is optimistic, that he says to Netanyahu, you better stop this because I need a win. I need a ceasefire. So go to it. Or you know, face the consequences.
Yes, and Netanyahu needs an off-ramp too. I mean, I think, you know, both parties need some form of solution. Of course, the problem for Netanyahu is that once the fighting stops, he's not going to be the guy to build a lasting peace. And it may well be that he sees himself back in court, if not prison. That's the real issue here for Israel and for Netanyahu. This doesn't end well for Netanyahu either way. But if it ends with a credible ceasefire and a longer-term plan to build stability in the region, which he can claim credit for or part credit for, that might be sufficient. But I think that looking at it from Trump's point of view, you know, don't forget, Israel demonstrated to Iran in the last few weeks that it has the ability to take out significant targets in Iran pretty much as it sees fit. I think the hair trigger now that the Israelis have over the Iranian oil infrastructure, domestic commercial industrial infrastructure, and its nuclear program is the next thing on its target list. And I think that's the drum that both Netanyahu and Trump will be beating. On one hand, that's the hammer, and the anvil is going to be a long-term peace settlement and a return to the Abraham Accords.
Now, if Netanyahu was overjoyed with the victory of Trump, Vladimir Zelensky was dismayed, I'm sure, although he did send his congratulations and looking forward to Trump, which many world leaders were doing. And there's no doubt going to be a queue of people making their way to Mar-a-Lago in advance of January to bend the knee, a bit like visiting the court of King Louis XIV in Versailles, bending the knee to the great man. Europe is somewhat also dismayed by all of this because Europe is a bit fragmented at the moment.
I think that's a great understatement. Yes, I think there are various forces within the European Union that are not aligned with the current strategy towards Ukraine. And, you know, you mentioned Orban in your opening statement. You know, he probably sees Trump as a fellow traveler. Whether that's reciprocated is another matter. The Putin relationship, the Putin-Trump relationship, yes, there's a relationship. But is it a relationship of equals? They're not mates. And I think the way to look at this is that at some point, the current policy in Europe with regards to Ukraine has to change. What is going on at the moment is simply not sustainable, because it involves thousands and thousands of young men dying on a daily basis on both sides of the war, There's no natural conclusion to this. It's either going to be a case of capitulation or negotiation to bring this war to an end. And it's not in Europe's interests or the world's interests that Putin is seen to benefit from this. But then one could argue it's not necessarily in Europe's interest for Putin to be humiliated and to be pushed into a situation where he does something completely unexpected. And we all know what he's been threatening, not that we should take that too seriously. So I think it may well take a new face and Trump coming in to bring both parties to some form of sense and some form of conclusion.
If you remember in Helsinki at the summit where Trump was demonstrated to be Putin's poodle and humiliated the United States in the process. I'm not sure he realized that had happened to him, but it certainly did. He was humiliated at the hands of Vladimir Putin. Is he likely to try and exact some sort of balancing act with Putin to redress that humiliation?
I think Trump, and again, this is wild speculation, but I think that this Trump administration is not going to necessarily fall into some of the poo traps that were set during the previous administration. I think we've got to look at what we're comparing this with. I mean, anybody who thinks that the Biden administration has been anything less than pretty disastrous in terms of international relations and America's position in the world, needs to think again. Trump is not actually coming into this situation under normal terms. I mean, the United States' position on a lot of these big ticket items has been somewhat hard to judge over the last 6 months for obvious reasons. And that is the United States has been pretty leaderless. So I think Trump arrives in a situation which is a bit chaotic and a bit unclear, which is pretty perfect for Trump. I think this is great territory for him. And we hope that the comments that have come out of his, J.D. Vance, his future vice president, and others in the Trump camp, which is don't confuse, election rhetoric with action. We're not going to desert Ukraine, but what we are going to do is make sure that the outcome is beneficial to the United States and that the Ukrainians aren't ripping us off, because it seems that a lot of people are benefiting from an extension to the current conflict, which is a sad fact of life.
Yeah, but also
and a reality.
Huge amounts of armaments being sold by the United States armaments industry, and they won't want any wars, be it in the Middle East or Ukraine, shut down anytime soon. That's the reality of commerce and capitalism.
I think that's a factor, but I think also the ammunition stocks that have been expended in Ukraine across northern, certainly within all NATO member states, is so great that replacing it's going to take years.
Duncan,
and that's the reality.
Duncan Bullivant, CEO of the Henderson Group and International Risk Management Advisory. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So it could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.